a very exciting time coming up in October with the Cockatoo Island Comedy Festival. It's called the World's Funniest Island Comedy Festival. It does feature, thank God it's Friday, we'll be there. But also, I think there'll be more enthusiastic crowds for Alexi Sale and the Goodies, among others. And of course, Tim Brooke Taylor from the Goodies will be appearing alongside Graham Garden, and I think Bill Oddie will be on the screen as part of a show that they plan for both days of the festivals. And Tim Brooke Taylor is on the line. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Yeah, you're very faint, but then you're a long way away, aren't you?
We are. Yes, that's right. I'll shout. What's the plan? What's the plan for your show?
Well, we're doing two shows. Basically, it's us telling our life histories, but mostly with just the comedy there. Andrew Hansen is helping us, as he's going to investigate as to what is the funniest bit we've ever done.
Oh, okay.
That's the idea.
Well, you
sounds a great party, doesn't it?
There's been a long competition of who was the most popular goodie, so I think you should settle that question as well.
Yes, that's a very good idea. I do know the answer.
That's right. Graham knows the answer as well, and so does Bill.
And funny enough, so does Bill.
Yeah, that's right. I was thinking the other day about the atmosphere in Cambridge in 1963 and 1964. What an amazing place it must have been. You had Tim Brooke Taylor, Graham Garden, and Bill Oddie there in the basically the Cambridge Drama Club of the day. You also had John Cleese, Graham Chapman, and Eric Idle.
That's correct.
What was in the water?
Well, I just know that we were very lucky to be there at the same time. Of course, at the time, you don't think you're anything. You're just rather silly young men doing silly things. But I used to go to law lectures with John Cleese, and we'd always come out giggling because there was some disaster that had happened. And we didn't really latch onto the law, but we're very good at knowing that 400 Italians going out on a boat were going to drown any minute now. So I don't think we learned much. The answer, I think, is a group confidence.
You built each other's confidence, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. You could die together. We eventually reached Broadway, and I remember thinking, whatever else happens, we've done this, we can now go to our serious jobs, which we were all going to be lawyers or teachers or doctors. But fortunately, we never did a sensible job.
When you read the history of it and you look at, I'm sorry, I'll read that again and so forth, and I think it was called the 1948 show, and you realise the extent to which all those six people I mentioned were kind of moving in and out of various groups to do various shows. You could have ended up anywhere. What do you think drove those three into the Python and you three into the Goodies? How did the sort of groups coalesce?
It could have changed at any stage. I was very nearly a Python because I'd been working with Graham and John for a long time. But I was actually working with Marty Feldman when it went on, so I missed that one and then got the rather superior boat of the Goodies.
Well, yeah.
You're right, we were all friends. I remember auditioning Eric Idle, and we became very good friends and used to write together. And Graham Chapman and John Cleese and I used to share a flat in London for quite a long time.
Well, I discovered only today that the famous Four Yorkshiremen sketch, which everyone knows, live in paper bag on road, lick road clean with tongue, all of that. That's not Python.
No, that's 48 show. It was originally written by Marty Feldman and myself, and John and Graham nearly ruined it. That's my story. But there is a version of it. We can still see, we can now prove it in black and white, which in the original version we're hoping to bring with us to the world's funniest island.
Oh, okay. Because I think people think it's Python because I think at an Amnesty gig or something like that, it was then it was re-performed.
They also did it live at the Hollywood Bowl. I know this because they didn't pay me till about a week ago.
but it, you know, the sketch that has mocked Yorkshiremen from that point on was written by you and Marty.
That's right, with additions from two other minor characters.
Yes.
But it's one of those things that comes up all the time, and somebody will start to whinge about the old days and say, but I was worse. And then they'd suddenly go into the Yorkshiremen, Four Yorkshiremen, they'd always say to me, great Python sketch, wasn't it? Some of them live, not many, but some do.
Yes, and they're through thin lips, he says, I suppose so. did you have a relative? How did you come up with that?
Well, I come from Derbyshire, which is next to Yorkshire, and I used to knock Yorkshiremen all the time until I discovered my grandfather was a Yorkshireman, which was really bad news. It was almost like having a grandfather as an axe murderer, but no worse, actually.
So it was a piece of self-mockery.
It's the they used to boast about everything Yorkshireman. There was a time in the 70s when I said I was going to write a book about Yorkshireman, and I had 14 publishers willing to publish it. But then I decided I wanted to live, so yeah. I didn't do it.
Live in peace. One of the things that strikes me when I listen to your work now, and it's we've discovered today, I didn't know this, but it's played on Radio National at 5:30 a.m. in the morning. But the brilliance of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. It's so verbal, and so much of your work has been verbal over the years, and yet The Goodies is so marvellously visual.
That's funny. I was thinking about that the other day because I'm sort of best known for two things completely opposite. Looking at some of the slapstick we did, I don't think that I'd be terribly good at that now. I'd still fall over, but it would take longer to get to the ground.
You're right, because
I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue is totally verbal, obviously.
Which you think is more you, the verbal or the slapstick or the visual?
I don't know. It was certainly when originally in Cambridge, I was more visual. But you had to be verbal. You had to write sketches. And now I love the verbal. We're just about to do a stage tour of I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue. And it's great to work with old friends, basically.
Look, it's a fantastic show, although we're just all coming to terms with the fact today that none of us understand Mornington Crescent. And we fear we're being had, Tim.
No, good heavens, no. I'll explain it to anybody on Cockatoo Island, the rules of that. Mind you, they will be very basic rules. You've got, when you like any game or sport or chess or something, you've just got to know the basic things and then you can work from there.
Timothy, how stupid do we look, we Australians?
It's very difficult to tell on the telephone, but fairly stupid.
Fairly stupid.
There are still people that you talk to and you tell them that maybe it's not entirely kosher, and they're so angry that it's best not to tell them. So please don't tell anybody.
Don't tell anyone. We mentioned the stunts. You actually did most of the stunts on The Goodies, if I calculate correctly.
Well, Graham and Bill always claim to have written most of it, and they did write a lot of the show. And I only wrote bits, but they always made sure that I got the uncomfortable bits. Graham, in fact, is the best faller over I know. He could do it without hurting himself. Bill and I said, no, we don't need some man. Fell over and hurt ourselves.
So because Graham was at the typewriter, he got to not fall over.
Yeah, that's right. Bill, even though he was the best. Yeah.
Tim walks into class plate defense, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You were, I think, Footlights president in 1963. He was Cambridge Footlights president. Graham Garden was Cambridge Footlights president in 1964. When you first laid eyes on him, and I'd love to know about that moment, and whether there was any inkling in your mind that, 45 years later, you would still be performing with this guy every week?
Well, at the time, I didn't know whether I'd meet him next week, but... No, I had absolutely no idea of that. I mean, he struck me as very funny when I first saw him. He was doing a solo routine, which was really, he was doing a Rolf Harris of, do you know what it is yet? He was doing drawings and turning them upside down and doing things. So I had no idea at all. I met Bill within 2 weeks of arriving at Cambridge, which is extraordinary, really.
Yeah. Are you sick of each? It's like Simon and Garfunkel or something like that. Except they normally have, you know, most of those duos break up after 20 years. How do you stand each other?
We do manage it. Graham and I, as I say, have gone on working on various different shows anyway, and to a certain extent, Bill. But we've always reckoned that three is a very good number. You always have a majority, whether it's two or one, and you can't turn one against the other. And I think it's worked. We've always got on very well, and mind you, we're not living together now as we were before. Whether that would have lasted, I don't know. But we have always got on very well, actually. I think we're very different. I think that helps too.
We always imagine you, I'm Sorry, living together in that house and on that tricycle. Yeah. You'll be forever united in our minds.
We used to get letters from The Goodies No Fixed Abode, Cricklewood, and from America, and they got to us for something somehow. And people really did think that we were three little animals living in a coop somewhere.
Where's the bike? Is the bike still extant?
There are one or two bikes. We hated the bike. It was the most horrible thing. We always got injured on it because you have to get it started going very quickly over a very short period, and it would... The chain would go. We ended up in hospital so many times, and people would say to us, where's the bike? And we'd go, oh, we don't care where the bike is. But in fact, we did a television show recently. We were sort of looking back at the goodies, and they brought the bike into the studio. And we were about to say, oh, we can't ride that bleeding thing. And they said, unfortunately, you're not allowed to ride it. We haven't managed to get insurance for health and safety. We went, oh, what a shame.
Thank God, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
There were three guys that actually rode it across Africa. I still don't know how they did that.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. I read about
it. It wasn't
that
us.
It wasn't you. Well, look, you have so many Australian fans, both for the goodies and for, you know, I'm sorry, I haven't a clue and so forth. You'll have many people coming up and demanding the rules of Mornington Crescent.
I'll be able to explain them to them. I've had a very good time in Australia. I've been many times and done shows in Perth as well. So I think Australians are the best intelligent people in the world because they like the goodies.
Yeah. You don't have to actually mention Perth separately. It is part of the country.
Well, I mentioned that because that's where I went later. But Sydney is obviously my favourite city.
Well, that's right.
At the moment.
Tim will be doing the interview with ABC Melbourne in a second. Tim Brooke-Taylor, thank you very much for joining us. And thanks. We'll see you on Cockatoo Island in October.
I look forward to seeing you and everybody else.